Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you doing?
Good morning, Don. A beautiful day here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, the upper Midwest. We're going to have a call later on, maybe at the top of the hour, about the tornadoes that ripped through my beloved home state of Missouri, if you will, including devastating the state capital there in Missouri, Jefferson City. So we'll have some call coming in on that. I want to kind of get an update. Boy, with the tornadoes and things, this is all about over 200 tornadoes here are starting Tuesday. I mean, wow, something's wrong with the weather. But anyways, man, yeah. You said we got a guest, so, you know, why don't you get him on and you can chit-chat with him, you chit-chat with him. And let's get it going, man. And looks like we got suspects, if you will, rounded up from the Somali community, right?
Yes. It looks like they have made some arrests, and they haven't really said who they arrested, but they said there were some arrests made in the Star Tribune this morning, Mr. Edwards.
Star Tribune, big Star Tribune. All right, man, you can call us on 347-426-3904. This is the Ron and Donnie program coming to you from the Twin Cities. A lot of things going on here. By the way, one of our ministers has called for a meeting to deal with a state of emergency for the violence on the streets of our beloved city, man. I tell you, it's a tremor down here in good old Minnesota. But again, we've got one of our ministers has called for a state of emergency. There was a meeting early in the week to try to deal with the problem of guns and et cetera. And then I think you got some kind of information about the Minneapolis Foundation getting ready to let go of some big money, some of that big blood money. So we want to talk about that. But let's get your guy in here. Okay, then, Tom.
Okay. This morning we'd like to welcome Patrick Adams, a local musician, artist. I've been knowing him since the 70s at Minneapolis Central. His family, his uncle, is a good friend of mine, and he's having a double album release party next Friday, I think it is, and he'll inform us on that. But in the background on Facebook Live, you're listening to the show, and you're also watching his music video, which is playing. Patrick Adams, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don, Mr. Edwards there. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Welcome, sir.
And tell us a little bit about how you got this started. I know you've been a musician ever since in high school. Was now the right time?
Now is the right time. Just a little history. Don and I go back, like he said, back to high school. And we were actually in the same band in high school with Mr. Hamilton, and
yep.
so we had a lot of fun back in the days. Don was one of my mentors as I was coming up through the ranks, and I've always admired you and the things that you've done over the years. So I just wanted to tell you that.
I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but like musically, been doing music, since I was a young guy, came up underneath my cousins that were doing music at the time, and came up through that whole Minneapolis sound era, and, been doing it for a while. I stepped away from it for a while to be dad and raise my kids and make sure that they were all squared away going to college and starting their journey. And then once I knew that they were all good, I decided to get back to another thing that I'm passionate about.
Okay. So you're having a double album release next week? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's actually two separate albums. And they're called Volume 1. Volume 1 is called Volume 1, The Introduction. And the introduction goes and introduces everyone to the different styles and genre of music that I enjoy playing and writing and producing. Volume 2 goes into one of those styles of music, and that style is primarily a lot of funk. And so then this will launch a series. Go ahead.
No. I just wanted to ask. I'm watching your video here. It looks like it was recorded in downtown Minneapolis, and I'm seeing a lot of the new artists coming out being certified platinum just with a video on Instagram or on YouTube or Snapchat or all that other stuff or on Facebook. Is this something making your music more accessible and distribution wider in 2019?
Yes. I mean, as you know, the industry has changed a lot over the years, and the social media aspect of it is like the largest component of it now. So absolutely right.
Could I just ask a question on that one? Make sure that we're clear. Well, that's, Don says 2018. I think he may have meant 2019, didn't he? This is.
Yes, I did. I meant 2019.
We want to give you the proper introduction, if you will. Go ahead, Brother Adams. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it gives the artist an opportunity to go ahead and put out whatever the message is that they're wanting to put out, and they have gained access to a larger audience via this way, as opposed to, you know, waiting around for a record company to sign you. You can actually, you know, be an entrepreneur yourself and promote your own product.
Okay. So is there another video in the background for our audience that is watching via Facebook Live? We're playing Patrick Adams' video, Smile, and it's a family-oriented video. It tells a story. It actually has a storyline. And when I first saw this video, Patrick, I was like, yes, we're getting back to some music that tells a story, that has a narrative instead of, you know, all that other crap you hear out there. I greatly appreciate it. And then my question is there another, you have another video coming out soon or in the near future?
Yeah, so right now, Smile was the first video. There's actually a video that's out as well called Take Me Away, which tells another story. And then there's a third video that we just released a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Crazy Love. So there's actually three of them that are out right now.
Okay. Well, would you like to tell our audience about, before I get started, Mr. Edwards, do you have any question for Mr. Adams?
Yes, just one. Of course, everyone that comes through the Minneapolis Sound, of course, knows any number of individuals, Morris Day and et cetera, but certainly everyone at some point had contact with the genius and the beloved Prince. And so my question, sir, is that Mr. Ford, is that did you ever have opportunity to play with the great one? And what kind of association did you have with him as it pertains to the neighborhood, that area in and around Central Hudson?
So to answer the last one first, I came up a little bit behind when Prince went to Central. I'm a little bit younger, so I didn't get to see him at Central, but I was around during Purple Rain and the filming of Purple Rain, and I was actually in one of George Clinton's background singers in the Graffiti Bridge movie.
That's what I thought. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I actually used to work with Morris Day production company back in the day. And I have a couple of songs on one of his albums. So I've been around all the guys for many years in one capacity or another.
okay. Have you played First Ave at any time in your career?
We used to perform at First Avenue back in the day, and a lot of the clubs, like the Riverview. I know we all remember the Riverview. And a few of the others, yeah. So we performed around back in the day at all the local spots here in town.
Okay. Let me just say this for reasons having to do with respecting and memorializing the owner and founder of the Riverview Supper Club, which was one of the most extensive operations and physical structures in Black America, and that was the late Jimmy Fuller. And I just think that we need to identify him out of respect and memorializing what he gave the Twin Cities in the Riverview Supper Club. It's really unfortunate that it's gone. It was certainly a place for many of you younger musicians to show your talents. Again, the late and great Jimmy Fuller. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Allen. You want to finish it up or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like to, Patrick, to tell us about his upcoming record release party, the location. And in the background, you're watching Patrick's record video, Crazy Love, as we interview him live here on the Ron and Don Show. But can you give us details of the event, the time, the location, and if we should bring anything besides our dancing shoes? Go ahead.
So the location, it will be Friday, May 31st, and the location is at the Eagle Street Grill, and that's in St. Paul across from the Excel Center. The address is 174 7th Street West, St. Paul. The doors are open at 8 o'clock. Special DJ will be Dan Speak. And a special MC will be Chaz Millionaire. And I would just
say,
you know, we would look forward to having you there to share this moment with us. Bring your dancing shoes and lots of smiles.
Okay. Well, Patrick, we appreciate you taking time off early this morning because I know you young bucks late got to stay up late night, be downtown Minneapolis. And we appreciate you calling in this morning and speaking with us, and we're going to keep an eye on you because we're going to invite you back in a few months once we, you know, you hit that Billboard top five, and we hope you don't get too big and you can't come on our little show for 5 or 10 minutes and have a chat with us. Thank you very much for calling in this morning, Patrick.
Well, thank you for having me, and God bless both of you.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Take care, sir. All right. All right. Yeah, this
will
actually
be
interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
The theme always is remember those that remembered you. And appreciate Brother Patrick Ford, one of the locals, if you will, a man whose roots, family's roots, as Mr. Allen has said, is in South Central, not to be confused with South Central, L.A., South Central, Minneapolis. What else we got, Don, as we move it on, man? A lot of stuff going on in our beloved chamber.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Mr. Edwards, I'd just like to get into this real quick. Last night, downtown Minneapolis, there was a group of community activists shooting videos and posting them on Facebook. And I'm telling you, the place was packed, and there was folks walking around so drunk that they didn't even know their names. And I watched, like, about 6 or 7 different videos of just people sloppy, drunk, walking around, girls, guys, white, black, everything. And it just seemed like a chaotic scene in downtown Minneapolis. And it was really funny whenever there was this one video where this younger white guy is just tore up from the floor up, and he comes up to the Mother Love Initiative group, start shaking their hands, hey brothers, and nearly falling on the ground in front of them. But it just lends to the chaos that's going on downtown Minneapolis, and the petty robberies and the drugs and the things that still continually happen in downtown Minneapolis. And I hope that at some point, you know, GBI and the Minneapolis Foundation gets it together and figures out that we need some help down there.
Well, I understand that the Minneapolis Foundation, which has been a long-standing foundation in the foundation, quote-unquote, community, I understand that they are accepting our applications for people to be able to get some of that $20 million, that blood money. Some people are calling it blood money from the estate, I guess, of Justine Diamond, if you will. R.T. Rosak, former mayor, three-term mayor of the city of Minneapolis, really never did much for the black community, and his right hand or left hand, Ms. Smith Baker, if you will, are now taking applications. I'm hearing that a couple of the new players are looking at as much as $300,000. To be awarded to them for their activities to keep the violence down, and basically it's predicated on gun violence. Everybody is, if we're not concerned about trauma, we're concerned about gun violence. So I don't know how many shootings they had last night downtown. I'll find it out later on today. But I don't know how many people were shot downtown or in the hood, as the people like to say. But Mr. Allen is touching on a venture, if you will, $2 million in play to be awarded, doled out or whatever, and it's going to bring an end, I guess, to gun violence in the city of Minneapolis, a city that has an average of one a night being shot, if you will, and within that period of time is one every 4 or 5 or 6 days that is killed. But anyways, that's what it is. That should be a new theme, Murderapolis. But go ahead, Don. What else you got, man?
I like to also say that yes, the Minneapolis Foundation has handpicked certain individuals to request the money from what I've understood with my sources, and I was privileged to some information that I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and the players there did not know who I was, Mr. Edwards, and they were openly discussing the possibilities of getting $200,000, $300,000 to put this plan or their plan in motion. And it's very, very interesting, but we'll see how that turns out. You're listening to Ron and Don Show. Our call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. Mr. Edwards, we have a caller.
Oh, let's get the caller. Let's get the caller on a beautiful Saturday morning. Go ahead, Todd.
Yes. Caller, you're live on the air. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm just tuning in. I haven't heard some of the earlier parts of the show, so I don't know if you're on a particular theme or not, but...
No, we haven't got the Lolas yet. We haven't got the Lolas yet. In fact, we're getting ready to go there. Why don't you just kind of hang on there in the queue there, we have some updating we need to do. Mr. Allen has been following it since early this morning, and then we'll bring you back in. Let's talk about Lolas a little bit and the arson. Apparently, there's been some significant action. The authorities are saying the following. And what is that, Ms. Allen? What is the powerful Minneapolis Star Tribune saying this morning?
Yeah, this morning, Star Tribune released a story headline that Lolas will be torn down, or the pavilion will be torn down, that is not salvageable. And in that story, in one sentence, that says a couple of arrests have been made. They neglected to say who was arrested. I'm thinking it might be minors. You never know. And that was it. It was a lackluster story of public relations piece versus anything else. But I find it unusual, Mr. Edwards, that in the title it says, Park Board plans to tear down, raise the pavilion, I should say. Now, we haven't had an official comment from the mayor, anybody in the park board, or anything like that. And so... I'm finding it very interesting while this investigation is underway that we don't get much information about what actually happened, because after careful examination in our production meeting of the pictures that were posted earlier in the week of this guy and this young lady at the lake and them trying to set concrete on fire, it's unusual that you know, this would, the lack of information they would give us, you know,
well,
about this.
Well, let me do the same thing because I've not seen any strong foundation within the Minneapolis Star Tribune's Saturday edition today of their newspaper that an arrest, and initially you had said a arrest, now you're saying that they're saying a couple of people have been arrested. I don't know which it is that they're talking about, but a couple things come into play. Normally, first of all, the pavilion and the property is owned by the park board. We had that discussion last Saturday with our worldwide audience. So that's first and foremost. Dr. Louis King has been shown in a number of pictures in the spokesman recorder, black newspaper here in the Twin Cities. He is on the front page. He is holding a sign that was a part of his promotion of his business, if you will, on the park board and the taxpayers' building. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so we had seen that. But a couple of things that we talked about here long in advance of the story and this morning's edition started. Number one, unlike you, Mr. Allen, I cannot understand the silence of the office of the mayor, the office of the president of the park board, the office of the superintendent of the park board. I cannot understand the silence, if you will, the silence of key members who were associates and who pushed real hard for Mr. King and whatever his corporation was to get the access to Lola's and open it up for operations last summer. I've seen nothing from any of those individuals. I saw Dr. King in an interview in front of City Hall. I saw two police officers, two white female police officers, and one of them was holding pictures of the surveillance cameras and et cetera. And that was kind of puzzling last Saturday because they had already had the information, you know, for a couple of days, and then it was over almost a week. And so I was wondering about that. And so we've not heard anything from key principal individuals. You know, normally a terrorist attack, as we this time last week, we were under the impression that this was some kind of terrorist attack by these Somalis, if you will. And obviously people were identifying them as Somalis if they were the person or persons that had been arrested, according to the article. Like you said, it is a very kind of bland article in this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I'm trying to figure out how people knew that they were Somalis from the get-go, but you know, maybe there are people who have certain attributes, anthropologists, whatever, you know, can just kind of look at a person and tell you, particularly a black person, who they are and et cetera. Now, here's my understanding and background that I worked on during the week with regard to important entities that are responsible for the investigation. I'm a little surprised that in the article this morning, did I miss that the fire marshal of the Minneapolis Fire Department? I know that the Minneapolis Police Department had assigned their person, a sergeant by the name, her name is Darcy Horn. She, in fact, was standing with Mr. King, Dr. King, outside of the City Hall sometime last week as he talked in terms of the terror that had been imposed upon his business, his employees, and, of course, most importantly, himself. But did I miss the investigative announcement, the conclusions that the fire marshal and the police and the fire department made? Did I miss that, Doc?
No, I tell you the truth, Mr. Edwards, I might have missed it because I haven't seen it anywhere, and I do have a Google alert for anything to do with that pavilion on Lake Calhoun there, and I have not heard any wrap-up, summary, conclusion, or anything. So I was a little bit concerned a little bit concerned about that. And like I said, the news this morning, Mr. Edwards was very discerning because it did not have any information about what was happening, who they arrest. It said arrest with an S. Didn't say a number, but it said arrest with an S. So they might have
multiple
people.
Okay, that means
people.
More than one. So we are to assume that the two Somalis, if you will, and my understanding is that they actually were identified by Somali police officers in the Minneapolis Police Department, that they have identified them. But that's right. That's the other thing I'm puzzled about. The young lady, according again to the giant white newspaper here in the Twin Cities, and then the Minneapolis Star Tribune, she turned herself in. Now, are we to assume now all of a sudden that she was not released and that she was, after voluntarily coming in, she was immediately taken into custody? And then I assume it was the young man who was also in the picture with her, that he then some way or another was apprehended. I don't know if he was getting on an airplane to Mogadishu, trying to flee the country, you know, and customs stopped him. I mean, I'm like you, Mr. Allen. There's a certain dryness to the report in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I mean, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to rebuild a pavilion. You know, as we talked about on last week's program, they're going to have to get a architect and a design of what the park board feels is important, because it's the park board and the taxpayers of the city of Minneapolis are going to be paying for it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to get a feel. And now, did I miss Darcy Horn, the investigator for the Minneapolis Police Department? I know the police department is pretty busy with all these shootings and things, and then they've got to get ready to go to trial, and we'll be talking about that, you can rest assured, in this program, probably the second half hour, in the case of, because we really owe it to the African-American community in the world to indicate that we as a community were basically told in the early part of the week that a Negro's life wasn't worth anything compared to that of a white woman. You know, $0 versus $20 million. I mean, that sends a chilling message. But anyway, back to Lola's, if you will. Did I miss some of that down? If I did, I apologize. You know, Darcy Horn, investigator, the fire chief, if you will, because we do have a fire chief. We have one of the best fire departments in the United States. So did we miss that? I'm not understanding what happened there.
No, I haven't seen anything, Mr. Edwards, and I'm looking in this studio. I'm actually looking for information to see if there's any updates, and I don't see anything at all.
Wow.
Whatsoever, other than reports about the fire and the release.
Okay.
Of the photos from earlier in the week from
Well, one
the
thing
May
23rd. That I can tell you that we know, I know, is that it and I have to get this out because we've got M holding there. I know that it was lightning. Remember, we were all being told that it was lightning? Remember, it was lightning that hit the building, and then the building just exploded.
Yeah.
We engulfed in flames. Well, it wasn't lightning, because one of the things that happened is that the Minneapolis Fire Department and their technology, which is very good, commissioned immediately an expert who, get this, this was kind of interesting, that on the very moment that and timeline that the lightning allegedly would have hit Lola's and et cetera, there was not a lightning strike within 20 miles of what used to be called Lake Calhoun. 20 miles. And that's what their investigators were then kind of trying to work on. And then, of course, we got the photos, the videos, and, of course, you're right, Mr. Allen said earlier, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but he was right, that two individuals seemed to be trying to set fire to the wall, I mean, a brick wall, by the way. So I'm just trying to get a feel. Maybe somebody can call in other than Mr. M. Maybe Mr. M. has some additional information. Maybe it's, you know, it's time for us to bring him on, let him ask the questions. We're half hour into our program. Why don't we bring him on and see if he can, maybe he's got some information. Don, what do you think?
I think so. Em, you're live on the air. What do you have to say about Lola's?
Well, I have to say, I think you gentlemen are really, you know, covering the waterfront on this thing. I mean, as we said, over the, you know, weeks that they came out, it was a lightning strike with such haste they came out. It was lightning strike. And again, as Mr. Allen pointed out, the pictures seem to have nothing like something like firecrackers against the building. But in essence, what happened to the building, it seems like, in finality, is that the ceiling collapsed. So, I mean, you could surmise that maybe the cooking oil or something caught on fire. But the silence as to what's really happening. The paper says, you know, first they say it's lightning, then they say it's Somalis, then they say that someone has turned themselves in. But there's no identity. There's no follow up to this. I mean, it's just so it's really
well.
Yeah,
we know on the journey, and we want to be concise with this for our worldwide audience because there were serious allegations made that a particular segment of community of color, Somali, who
yep.
quote unquote, you know, kind of guests
yep.
in our country, had been the perpetrator. Okay, now a picture of two individuals was shown, and during the week, information was being floated out by supporters of Mr. King and others that this terrible act had been carried out, but that in the best tradition of the military, if you will, Dr. King was going to reengage and reinvigorate and et cetera. So, okay, but in the meanwhile, you know, we were kind of beating up on the Somali community with regards to, you know, their culpability in this tragedy, if you will, in this situation. And by the way, one of the things that's real peculiar, gentlemen, is that the fire department, which arrived about 3 minutes after the 911 call, when they got there, if you will, the fire was fully engaged, the roof was in flames, and was beginning, as M said just a couple minutes ago, was starting to fall into the center of the building. In other words, the roof was fully engaged. And so that whole thing about cooking oil, chicken oil, seed oil, whatever, seemed to make sense because one of the things that Mr. King said in his, you know, on-street camera interview in front of the courthouse, actually City Hall, was he talked in terms that his one of his staff could have been at 4 o'clock in the morning, could have been preparing for the coming day's meal and could have been caught in, he was saying, the lightning strike, right? Right, gentlemen? And could have been killed.
Yeah.
Well, so that means that there was supposed to be somebody scheduled to be inside of the facility because the video shows the two individuals who are Somali actually sitting at a table, which was interesting to me because I don't know many people that would sit at a table that, you know, is lined in metal and et cetera in the middle of a lightning storm. And lightning strikes, so that began to raise some questions. But bottom line is that where is the investigative report, and at what point? We have to ask this question now because we don't have it, Mr. Allen, and I don't see it in the paper, is that when will the arson report be issued to the public, you know? I don't know. I just don't know. Do you have any indication,
yeah.
in that? Have you seen anything? Have you heard anything that the report will be issued by the fire department, fire marshal, Minneapolis Police Department, blah, 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 blah? I don't see anything. I mean, what kind of accelerant was used? What was the actual point of induction and of heat? I mean, I don't know. I mean, so how was this carried out?
Well, we'll have to wait until investigation is complete. I mean, they were so hasty, and so they're really basically seem to be scrambling to get this story together. They seem to be putting together a scenario that they want to release. Yeah, that they want to release.
Right.
To the public.
Go ahead, Mr. Allen. Go ahead. Here you go. Want to thank him.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
We've got some people in the what you call it. Go ahead,
yeah.
Mr. Allen.
I'm looking at a story from May 16, 2009, and in one of the pictures here, it says, fire officials closely examine this scorched barrel and discoloration on the side of the pavilion. Fire investigators also got reports of lightning activity in the area before the fire was discovered. Now, that's very clever writing, Mr. Evans. That's very clever because the average layman would read that and assume that it was a lightning strike. And we know now, we're looking at it, that northeast kind, that corner in that barrel, there was not necessarily a lightning strike there. But there
was
some
kind
of fire.
Well, we're exclusively reporting information that has been provided to me by official authorities that, I mean, they did a scientific research, if you will, brought in an expert. And, you know, when I was made aware that there was had not been a lightning strike at that particular hour, if you will, that whole timeline, within 20 miles of Calhoun, you know, I was like, okay, so what happened in the pavilion? What happened in the kitchen? And what happened to so fully engage that roof to the extent that within 3 minutes after the call went in and the fire trucks raced to the scene from their fire station there and the location, that the roof, as M had pointed out just a minutes ago, the roof had already began to collapse, and the fire could be seen for miles. Not the lightning, gentlemen. We don't want to be confused on the lightning. Is that the scientific examination, I repeat again for the fourth time, that there was not a lightning strike within 20 miles, not 20 yards or 20 feet, you know, or even 20 blocks, but 20 miles of that particular location. So I don't know, but we got other callers. We'll appreciate him for raising the question. I guess we'll all stay on top of this. Maybe we'll get a little bit more information tomorrow morning, Sunday's paper. I don't know.
Could I make one other point before I go?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Sure. Yes, and I just want to make a point of something I saw in today's paper also is, you know, some finality for the Knorr trial, where they have, to me, I think it's very controversial here. I mean, they've released evidence of the details of that, you know, the terrible incident where, you know, in the paper they have a picture of the actual weapon that was used, also pictures of the actual uniform of the officer with his badge on. And it just comes to me, it comes across to me as kind of a macabre type of a situation. I mean, they had an exhibit of sorts in the Minneapolis City Hall or at the Hennepin County Government Center where people could just come in and peruse artifacts. I mean, it's almost like they just continue to pound home the issue of this depraved mind, these things
well,
that came
that,
out in
the that
slam.
Isn't that the real angle that that the county attorney now on leave, if you will, Michael Freeman, wasn't that a part of what they wanted to do? Is that the way we used to operate in good old America during the days of lynchings and et cetera? We used to have on display after the Negroes were lynched. We had the ropes and the one tied around the neck, the feet, hands, if you will. Even some of the body parts. Come on, gentlemen. I mean, let's be for real. We're not being for real. But some of the body parts that were ripped from the body of the perpetrators would be on display. I mean, your point is well made, Em. I'm not understanding. I mean, let me also say this. I am absolutely obligated professionally to remind you, because I've seen nothing but silence, gentlemen, is that Muhammad Noor has been in the Supermax, the most impregnable penitentiary in the state of Minnesota at Oak Park Heights since the Tuesday after he was told to stand up, and the judge read the charge. He was taken in handcuffs and shackles, kind of like the old days on the Mississippi, if you will. The old Negro, in this case black man, would be put in shackles and chained and hand and et cetera. And he was taken, as I reported in my column in the Minnesota Post Recorder 2 weeks ago, he was taken by a Greyhound bus. The Department of Corrections rents a Greyhound bus to take prisoners from the Hennepin County Jail to a central location, normally at St. Cloud or Lionel Lakes. But anyways, in the case of Mohammed Noor, let us not forget that he has been in the maximum supermax penitentiary for almost a month now. And we continue to stand by our statement that we offer our prayers, because the word is, gentlemen, is that he will not survive the year. But by the way, he is going to be sentenced. The judge is going to sentence him on June 7th. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's wow.
Hey, but again, this release is playing. Well, I
want to briefly
say,
go ahead, Em.
Yeah, this display in the paper with all the numbers of officer involved shootings of black men in this city, to make this type of a display where the gun, the uniform, it just shows such a contrast. So what about all these other killings? Why don't we examine that?
I was just going to tell you, by the city council to award not a single penny, if it had not been for one of the great American black heroes, Judge Michael Davis, and by the way, that situation is now definitely going to trial. It's going to be very interesting within whatever the period is that a trial date is confirmed. In fact, actually, it already has been. Rochelle Olson of the Star Tribune and that newspaper have failed to report certain aspects, such as that Mohammed Noor is incarcerated and locked up and has been for a month in the penitentiary at Oak Park Heights. But anything else having to do with preparation for his sentencing, I mean, he's already started his sentence. I mean, that's why the white woman, the white judge, that's why she set him up there. To get him familiar with what it's going to be like, for the next 15, 20 years, if you will. I don't know, but let me say this, gentlemen. This goes to show you, this is what you get for your money,
Yeah.
So, yeah. $20 million is being well spent,
Yes, it is. All right,
Jim, thank you, sir. Okay, we may have got
thank
a couple
you.
Other calls coming in.
Yeah, and Mr. Edwards, there was some, I checked, there's people that just want to stay in the queue, but there was some audio release via the Star and Tribune from a body cam that I like to play. Those on Facebook streaming can actually see it, and we'll be able here to listen. It's less than 2 minutes. I'm just going to play it here. The
really can't hear it, Don. We don't have good audio. I mean, what in your estimation, is this part of the collection that M has talked about that is on display now for people to come in and kind of gawk and take a look?
Yeah, they're actually,
I've seen that video. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they're actually showing Miss Diamond on the ground. They're trying to give her resuscitate her.
Well, that's uncouth, because her blouse and everything was open, and you can actually see her breath. I mean, is that what this is all about? Or what? I'm not
Yeah, you can't see that close. Yeah, you can't see that close, but you can see the paramedics working on her at the time. And, Mr. Edwards, we do have another caller. It looks like our caller from the Midwest. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead. This is the Ron and Don Show.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir. I'm surprised you guys still got phone service. You're calling from the Midwest.
I'm surprised you guys have got
phone service down there.
Because
you're in Missouri and Kansas, right? But go ahead. Steve, right? Steve, okay, go ahead.
That's right, that's correct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, um, I, I know earlier in the show you had alluded to ministers in a state of emergency. Could you kind of expand on exactly what that was about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Because Mr. Allen and I probably were going to try to get to that, and we do have about 17. Yeah, because of the shootings, and I wasn't just making just, if you will, at the top of the program when my associate, Mr. Allen, was talking in terms of the video that we played at the very top of the show, showing activity in downtown Minneapolis, drunks, inebriated, fighting, statements, and et cetera, approaching of African-American. Hey, buddy, how you doing, guy? You know, that kind of thing. But what had happened earlier in the week, first of all, there was a kind of a closed meeting of the group formerly known, kind of like the Prince thing, if you will, formerly known as GDI, the Gang Violence Initiative. Made a lot of money, been getting a lot of money from the Department of Health, from Bloomberg, and et cetera. I mean, they're making money hand over fist. So they had a meeting, second one, in about 3 weeks. The last one they had, Mr. Al Flowers, a community activist, tore it up. Don, because it was basically comprised of white folks who were, you know, trying to tell the African Americans how to get themselves together. Well, to your question, Steve, there were no black ministers. And in fact, we talked about it, and we have the on demand. If anybody challenges us, we talked about the fact that there were no black ministers, and really there were no real black leaders, but particularly the ministers. And so people became, concerned about us being toxic again by putting that information out. And we identified a specific African-American woman who heads up a program with a lot of money. Her name is Joey Marsh Stevenson, and she's been sitting on a lot of money. And then, you know, this comes on the heels of the $2 million that was, you know, kind of handed out to the former mayor of the guy by the name of R.T. Ryback to be given to the African American community. Mr. Allen, a number of minutes ago, touched on the fact that that designation is taking place. A select group have been selected. To be selected. You understand what I'm saying? I'm here in Minneapolis. And so since that meeting, and a meeting in which our beloved now on leave county attorney had attended, he was kind of inebriated, drunk that night. But anyways, a minister here has called for a meeting of the ecumenical base, if you will, because of the shootings. In fact, things have gotten so bad that the last three meetings that have been held, allegedly to address the problem, have been held in the daylight hours, early morning, because there is so much violence on the street. And so this minister, well-known and respected, has called for an emergency meeting to declare a state of emergency. And I guess they're trying to put pressure on the governor. The governor's tied up right now because we're in the final hours of a special legislative session to try to get, you know, the budget right so that, you know, money can be paid out to you know, communities of non-color and et cetera. So, yes, a African-American minister has called for a state of emergency based on all the shootings, homicides, woundings, and et cetera that are going on. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
now, we
okay.
weren't supposed to talk
all
about
right.
that. I know we weren't, because we're too toxic. But go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to get some better understanding of what that was about. But I also had a question about the restaurant fire that you all are talking about. What are they demonizing the Somali community by publishing the photos of these people? Or I mean, how did the Somali community get mixed up in this fire? I'm not quite understanding that.
Wow, that is a good question that should have been asked when people this time last week were beating up on the Somali community, and the pictures of the two young people of color who we were made to understand a week ago this morning that Dr. King, who is also a member of the United States military, had apparently, you know, identified and had reached the conclusion that they were Somalis before the pictures they have even came out and before the declarations were made that the two people were known. They were actually identified by, we only have six Somali officers left here in Minneapolis, but two veteran sergeants of the Somali community who are police officers identified the two young people, and so there's absolute clarity. We still have about 9 minutes in this left. The young lady, and I have reason to believe, Don, poor reporting caused this information not to be put out. I'm pretty sure that the young man also, they turned themselves in. That's why we were so shocked early this morning. Mr. Adams and Mr. Allen calling me and telling me that the now arrest had been made. I was trying to figure out why they let the young lady go if she was such a attractive, if you excuse the legal expression, such an attractive suspect, if you will. But the paper reported on their own, website, et cetera, that she had come in. She had met with the authorities, and she had been released, you know. Now the major white paper here is saying that that two people have been arrested, I assume, you know, unless we just did a roundup and just went up and on down the street. But we've been having serious problems because, and that's another thing, last week when Mr. Allen, we had a guest on, and he was reporting the violence and the activity and rioting by Somali youth on the light rail line. Some people text Mr. Allen. They don't bother to text me because they know that I just dismiss it. But they thought about how we operate is that it was confirmed 4 days later after we had reported it last Saturday on this program that Somali youth enraged about the continued attacks, the disrespect shown to Mr. Nord, a former officer, and other kinds of things that were out of control, and there had been fighting and injuries. So your question is well-crafted and well-put, sir, is that it was clear that somebody decided to make the Somali community the real bad people, if you will.
Yeah.
And now we're all waiting breathlessly to have the Minneapolis Police Department and Fire Department, because it was a joint examination with the Fire Department, really have the expertise, obviously, on arson. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember also last week when you called in, I think you kind of asked us the question, how had arson been determined, when we were saying you thought maybe that we had missed a step, if you will, that there was no indication that an investigation had concluded that it was arson. And then I remember last Saturday, Mr. Allen and myself and you and a couple others talked about the so-called fire. Now Mr. Allen is showing a report of 17 May, if you will, in which a trash barrel had some kind of fire in it. So I don't know what is happening. The problem we have here, Steve, I hope I'm belaboring the point to you. The problem we're having here, we've not heard from the mayor. We've not heard from the chief of police. We've not heard from the chief of police of the Park Board Police. See, the Park Board Police have their own little police department, okay, which was created by a state law of 100 years ago. We've not heard from the president of the of the Park Board of Directors, or commissioners, as they call themselves. We've not heard from the superintendent of the Park Board, if you will, you know. And we don't see anything that resembles an investigative report which has extremely conclusive evidence of arson, which would, you know, lead to an arrest, right? I mean,
yeah.
We're just obligated here. Don and I are just obligated to lay that information out. Any additional questions, sir?
Well, just a sort of a technical, I guess, question. Lewis King, is he the owner of the restaurant or the manager? Because I've seen both in the...
No, he's the owner. Let me clarify for our worldwide listening audience.
Okay.
The facility, first of all, the land is owned by the Park Board. Building, which is was 90 years old, is owned by the Park Board. Lewis King was merely an individual who was renting space for a cafe formerly known, I hate to say it like that, Don, formerly known as Lola. So to your question, Mr. King was basically a renter. Do you have some thoughts on that, Steve?
No, I was just trying to clear that up because I'd seen both. One just showed him as the manager, then they said he was the owner, I believe, in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. So I was just wondering.
You know, they kept making that intentional mistake. Oops. They kept making that intentional mistake. In the production meeting, Mr. Allen and I had quite a conversation with our staff on why they kept doing that. But then that's like the trial that's getting ready to come up in the death of Jamar Clark, an African-American shot and killed by police in November of 2015.
Yeah.
They keep making statements about his DNA is on the gun, his DNA is on the Bowie belt, his DNA is everywhere. And that's just really not accurate. But, hey, you know, this is the way we operate. It's the way we roll up here. All right.
Okay.
I hope we've answered your questions. Appreciate you continuing to call. Keep an eye on this because maybe at some point, Mr. Albert and myself and other journalists, black journalists, we know blacks aren't important in this town. We saw that with the 20 million. But maybe at some point they'll tell us who the suspects are.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Mr. Allen, go ahead, sir.
We have approximately 3 minutes left in the show.
All right.
And I'm combing the newspaper because we didn't mention that there has been no press conference or anything officially released by the NAACP, the Urban League, on the fire or the pitcher or, you know, that's just a trend. We never hear anything about anything. And even the $20 million settlement, and the neglect toward the Jamar Clark settlement, we still have no word for our community leaders. And those of you that type in, you know, well, why don't you do something? I just want to make it perfectly clear. Mr. Edwards and I deliver news here every Saturday, and Mr. Edwards has a TV show and writes a column and a spokesman recorder, et cetera. And I think we pretty much stay in our lane. We are not paid by a nonprofit. We've done this show for 10 years for not a penny. And so we're not aligned or loyal to anybody except getting the proper information out to the general public. With that said, Mr. Edwards, I would hope that our agencies step up and start doing these press conferences and start telling people what's going on instead of keeping them in the dark, because it's not the oppressor that's killing us. It's the silence by our own community leaders.
And you are absolutely and well-spoken and well-said, Mr. Allen. When we talk in terms of the Jamar Clark, the silence, we already know that the silence with regards to Terrence Franklin. That trial, though, I keep making sure I tell people that the Terrence Franklin trial will start October 7th in the federal court. See, that's where the city has run into a problem now because the next two cases are in federal court, brother. And one of those cases is under one of the strongest and most conscious African-American judges in the history of the federal system here in Minnesota. But I'm just stunned that no one has been upset about the fact that the city council, the white mayor, Jewish mayor actually, and others basically said to the black community that a Negro's life ain't worth a red blood cent.
And with that said,
yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Bring us on.
With that said, we're down to the last 30 seconds of the show.
Okay.
And I'd like to leave playing Patrick Adams' video Smile, if that's okay, Mr. Edwards.
Right, go right ahead, man. Yeah, because that's all we doing is smiling because our leadership ain't taking offense at the message that's being delivered. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Saturday at the same time. You're listening to the Ron and Don Show.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.